You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Health and Wellness.
It's 25 minutes before 12 o'clock. Time for our health and wellness feature. And today we are talking about sleeping pills. Do you take sleeping pills? What's your relationship with sleeping pills? I want us to look at the do's and don'ts when it comes to using this kind of medication. There are obviously many reasons why people decide to use sleeping medication. Usually, medical doctors would recommend them for patients that are struggling to sleep due to trauma, stress, pain. It could be any. So while this is recommended by the doctors, you need to be aware of the effects that may be caused by the frequent usage of the medication, because some people get addicted. So let's look at the do's and don'ts, and also what you can do in cases where you feel you are becoming more dependent on sleeping pills. Dr. Martin McKay is a general practitioner who's going to guide us through this discussion, but I'll take your calls as well and your WhatsApp voice notes on your relationship with sleeping pills. Are you addicted? Do you feel like you are more dependent on them? Do you think you have a healthy relationship with sleeping pills? Dr. McKay, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim, and thanks for having me.
So let's start with what the sleeping pills actually help with. So for someone to decide, I actually need assistance to sleep, what could be happening?
So usually the patients will present in a few ways. The most common way is they will say, doctor, obviously they come and say, doctor, I can't sleep. Then we would ask, what is the main problem? Are you battling to fall asleep? Or do you fall asleep and then wake up in the middle of the night and then battle to sleep afterwards? Or do you wake up in the early hours of the morning and then you can't sleep and then you stay awake? And usually we see a lot of that. The patients say, you know, I have no problem falling asleep, but then here early hours of the morning, I toss and turn, or I wake up and my mind is going crazy and I can't sleep. And then just when my alarm is going off for me to wake up to get to work, Now I want to sleep. And so I'm battling with focus in the day. I can't concentrate. I'm tired. I'm falling asleep in meetings. And so you have this sleeping issue, waking up in the middle of the night, which is then affecting or impairing their daytime functioning. And I think that's very important with when there is a sleep problem. Is it affecting the way you are functioning in the day? And if there is daytime impairment, then you know that there's a significant sleep problem.
Yeah. So are there any side effects, though? Because if the lack of sleep then affects how you function, and then you start taking the sleeping tablets, but then again, you do experience some side effects that then also affects how your day is and how you function, then it's like, what's the point at the end of the day? So what are the kind of side effects that often people would experience who use sleeping pills?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And this is why it has to be under the advice of your GP or your treating healthcare practitioner. Because, again, one needs to know what type of insomnia it is, as I mentioned just now, and which would then be the best pill for you to take. For instance, if you're battling to fall asleep, then you need a pill that's going to work quickly. So you want to get into bed, take a tablet, and it's going to work within 10, 15 minutes or half an hour so that it can knock you out and get you to sleep. And therefore, you wake up feeling fresh and ready for the day. If you're battling with waking up in the middle of the night, then you need a tablet that has a longer duration of action so that it starts off gently but can work longer, again, keep you asleep, and then wake you up feeling fresh. And what some patients do is then they wake up in the middle of the night and then they look for the sleeping tablet, and then 3 or 4 hours later it's time to get up, and what happens? They still have the effect of the pill, and therefore they have daytime malfunctioning or daytime impairment again.
Oh.
It's very critical that we know what type of sleep problem you have, what is the best way, and then which tablet will work best for you. But I think it's also important that we don't look at insomnia in isolation. The question is, are there any other comorbid issues that are preventing you from sleeping, such as depression? You know, if you are feeling down and sad and lonely, one of the things is that you are not going to sleep very well. You won't have good quality sleep. So in addition to giving you something to sleep, we have to address the primary problem in depression. Is it arthritis? Is it chronic pain, as you mentioned in your introduction? What about acid reflux that keeps people tossing and turning with a burning chest, feeling like they're going to have a heart attack? The stress that people are going through. So all that has to be taken into account when you decide on what would work best for you, so that you're waking up fresh, ready to work, and no daytime impairment.
Yeah. How can you take the pills so that you don't experience the severe side effects? So in other words, do you take the pill before you get into bed? After you take the pill, must you be avoiding certain foods, certain drinks? What's the best way to take the pill so that they're effective and you are not experiencing these severe side effects afterwards?
Yeah, so that's very broad. So I think what we also should just remind ourselves is that the issue of good sleep hygiene. We battle with good or bad habits with regard to our sleep. You know, we get to bed late. We are on our phones, we're on technology, social media. Whereas the bedroom should be a place of quietness and solitude, darkness. It's a place for where you just sleep and nothing else. You know, the room must be dark. The doctor would then advise you at the best time for the pill. As I mentioned, some of the pills contain melatonin that must be taken about 2 hours before bedtime. Some of the tricyclics, antidepressants, must be taken 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. The quick, rapid-acting sleeping tablets, 15 to 20 minutes before bedtime, some an hour. So the doctor would then advise what is the best time. But ideally, you set yourself up for sleeping. Prepare yourself. Don't eat a late supper. Don't have a big supper. Don't exercise before bedtime. No social media. I even advise my patient, not even books, nothing in the house. Just switch off the lights, have the right ambiance. The bedroom is for sleep and sex and nothing else. Mm. And that's how you prepare yourself for a good night's sleep. Also, remember the doctor ideally would start with a low dose pill. You don't start with maximum. So you go low, go slow, and you can always increase it to a dose that is effective. We advise patients not to double up without consulting the doctor. And I think very important, I do not want to prescribe a sleeping tablet for more than 2 to 4 weeks. So we don't want to put it on a repeat prescription without, you know, the patient coming back, going through the issues, and then addressing all the other issues that could be keeping our patients out of sleep.
Mm-hmm. I've got some calls coming on 011-883-0702. If you've got questions, you can send them on the WhatsApp line as well, 072-702-1702. What's your relationship with sleeping pills? Are you experiencing some side effects? Are you taking them the right way you should be taking them? And are you becoming more dependent on them? And how do you know you are becoming more dependent on them? Let's start with this voice note.
Clement, I use Allerjax to sleep at night. You know, I take one or sometimes half. I know it's not right, it's wrong. But will it have effect on me maybe, you know, in the near future? Is it bad for my body? I just want to know. Thanks, Ian from Aldo's.
Thank you. Dr. McKay?
Yeah, so the product that the listener has mentioned is a short-acting antihistamine. So as the name implies, it's used for allergic reactions, more specifically bites and stings, with a major side effect being drowsiness or sedation. So in this case, he's using it off-label. In other words, it's not being used for the purpose that it was designed, but because the side effect is sedation, they use it. And patients tend to think it's safer because, you know, I'm not taking a sleeping tablet. But this can also lead to issues, and especially daytime drowsiness, because of the sedative effects of a pill like that. And a lot of patients think it's safer. So for me, it can lead to longer problems. And what usually happens is that the patients need more of the same to get the same effect. So you would maybe be able to sleep with two, then after some time I need three, and then I need four, and soon you have to be breaking into pharmacists to get enough to be able to sleep. So the issue of tolerance of the medication. Mm-hmm. So a short-term solution, okay, but long-term, I don't think it's a good idea because you're using something that was never designed for sleep. So you're taking the side effect of that and thinking that it's better in the long run. So I'm against that the use of that particular medication.
All right, here's another question. Hi, can you please ask the doctor, is the prescribed melatonin supplements as bad and addictive as your normal pharmaceutical sleeping pills?
Yeah, so good question. So melatonin is really the sleep hormone. That's what's produced when it gets dark and makes us sleep. There has been a lot of discouragement of the use of the OTC ones. We're now using prescribed melatonin tablets, which are more longer acting and safer. So they, because it's melatonin and it's hormonal and it's a sleep hormone, they are not as addictive as the sleeping tablets that you generally be prescribed. And so we use it. And it's a lot safer in the elderly as well.
Okay. Mark, you are in Centurion. Good morning.
Yeah, how's it? When I fly overseas, and, you know, you spend like anything between 12 and 15 hours in an aircraft, and you need to sleep because otherwise you get to the other side. You are totally whatever. I take Stilnox. The 12 milligrams of Stilnox, which my doctor prescribes to me. I mean, you can't self-medicate or spy them over the counter. But they are so strong. I take one of those after you've had something to eat. I usually fall asleep, you know, within the next 5 or 10 minutes, and I sleep 6 or 7 hours, even on an aircraft. I just want to know, is there any way, are they that strong, that one can actually get dependent on that if I only really take them, let's say, every 4 to 6 weeks when I fly? Or is it basically okay? You know, is the gap big enough to not get dependent on those?
Yeah, and you take that only on long flights, yeah, Mark?
Only on long flights. I mean, you go to Europe, or I mean, I go to the States. I mean, the States is the direct flight at 16 hours.
Yes, yeah.
So you can't just sit there, you know, with your, you know, because
no, you can't.
3 days. You know, if you take the whole time shift as well into account. You know?
Yes. Yeah, I've taken those pills as well, Mark. But I mean, you taking them more regularly, Dr. McKay, can you be more dependent on them? Mark is asking how strong they are.
Yeah, so that's the 12.5 milligrams is fairly strong. At least he's only using it on flight, so the risk of dependence is much lower compared to someone who's using it more regularly. There is a lower strength one, the 10 milligrams, which I'd probably be more comfortable with. You know, the other thing, Clement, on long-haul flights, you don't want the patient to sleep right through the flight because of the risk of DVTs, you know, clots developing. And so I usually give my patients something a lot milder, so at least they can, when they want to sleep, they can doze it, but at least get up every couple of hours just to take a walk around, mobilize their legs and their feet to minimize the risk of a deep vein thrombosis. So personally, my advice would be rather take the 10 milligrams, which is immediate acting of shorter duration, and try and move around on the flight. But in terms of his question about addiction, the risk is very low if he continues to use it only like that with flight.
All right. Mark, thank you so much for your questions. Omar in Pretoria says, "Hi, Clement. I was diagnosed with severe depression during COVID. Since 2020, I cannot sleep without taking tablets. I'm seeing a psychiatrist. My dose is very high at 200 milligrams of Dopacol. It's my life. This one time I was out of town for a weekend and I literally could not sleep. I don't know how to go on without them. I overthink because of financial stress. My question is that, will this affect me in the long run?"
Yes, I think it will. You know, that's a fairly high dose of the Dopacol, just when it is just being used to sleep. You know, we can use that product in low doses like 25 milligrams as an adjunct to help our patients sleep, especially when there's a bit of anxiety with it. My issue with our listener and his treatment is, where is the antidepressant? You see, because he says his primary problem, he cannot sleep because he's depressed. So ideally, he should be on an antidepressant together maybe with something mild. And if you treat the underlying issue, the main issue, the presenting issue, which is the depression, he may start sleeping better and not having to use such a high dose. And you can see there's the issue of dependence. I'm out of pills, I can't sleep, anxiety resurfaces, and he's in a state. So my question would just be, please just check with your psychiatrist. Are you on an antidepressant that would be treating the presenting issue, the main issue that caused you to lose your ability to sleep?
Mm-hmm. All right. It's 12 minutes before 12 o'clock. After the break, I'm going to take more of your calls and more of your WhatsApps.
702
Health and Wellness.
10 minutes before 12 o'clock, let's take more of your questions. We are talking about sleeping pills on our Health and Wellness feature this morning. Another question, Dr. McKay. Clement, would the doctor recommend cannabis as an alternative? That's a question from Mark from Benoni.
So my short answer would be no. It depends on what you've used. It depends on what the problem is. And again, you know, cannabinoids can also fit into under addictive substances. So I would be very reluctant. I would do a thorough history, check exactly what the issues are, what have you used before, and surely there are a lot of other safer alternatives and things that we have more experience in using.
All right, here's another voice note.
I just want to ask something about this problem of sleeping pill, because my father took them since I was young, and then I'm now 44. I just wanted to know, because he's still taking them till today, even if he's on pension as we speak, because I understand that he was maybe having a problem at work, working. Maybe the work was too much for him, but now he's on pension but still taking them. So I just wanted to know, is there anything that my father can do to leave them? Because I think maybe they will damage him, because he's been 44 years as I speak. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, Dr. McKay. And I guess there we don't also know why the dad started taking the pills, right? Whether it was work stress, or whether it's depression or and can't sleep or other issues. But yeah, she wants to know if she can, if he can take them now, take them off now.
Yeah, you see, Clement, so that's a difficult one. If, you know, the issue is, if he's still been taking the same pill at the same dose over these years, he's probably gotten away with it.
Mm.
As opposed to someone who's gradually needed to use, you know, two or three more, and then five or six, and then a whole lot. It doesn't sound as if he's been desperate enough to get it, or he's just been getting it and taking it at the normal dose. And without knowing the exact name of the pill, you know, I would be reluctant for an elder, for, you know, a pensioner now to try and interfere. You will cause more problems. He survived till now. He's not going anywhere. You know, the issues with addiction and not being able to work and things like that and driving, those things tend to fall away now in the elderly. I think we will just upset him more if he starts interfering. So if he's still using the same pill, the same similar dose all these years, and he's still able to function in the day, Clement, you know, don't trouble until it troubles you. I would just be reluctant to upset his happy space right now.
But is there any potential damage of using them in the long term?
Unlikely. Okay. Unlikely. You know, if by now you would have, if he was using, for instance, painkillers to sleep, you would have had kidney problems or liver problems, you know?
Mm.
So if there's nothing obvious now, it's very unlikely.
Okay.
Hi, Clement. Just a quick one. So I have chronic insomnia, underlying cause, mental health related. I've taken a couple of sleeping tablets that I've tried with my physician, still knocks. Eventually, they don't work. I'm on Trazodone now, and it works, although it keeps me sleeping much longer. So I wonder if there's any other solutions that your honorable guest could perhaps advise. Thanks.
All right. Dr. McKay?
Yeah, I think her doctor has done a great thing, because what they've done is added an antidepressant with a side effect of sleeping. So instead of giving a pure sleeping pill, we're using an antidepressant that will help to sleep, which is a lot safer long term. Mm. That's number one. So I would be reluctant to change it. Number two, to get around it, it would depend on the dose. So that molecule comes in a 50 and 100 milligrams. So usually we give 50 milligrams early evening and then 100 at bedtime. So if you find that it's still working or feeling have some daytime impairment, just take it earlier, okay, or half the dose. So if you're taking it at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, take it an hour earlier, and until you find that sweet spot where it does both, helps you to sleep, but also keeps you alert in the day.
Mm.
But again, I would be reluctant to look for something else, because it's a safer option. You're treating the depression as well as giving you a good night's sleep. So just juggle around with the timing of taking of the pill. But by all means, please stay on that particular molecule. It's a good one.
Okay. Here's another question. Hi, Clement. Can you ask the doctor? I take Stilnox too. I have sickle cell that gives me insomnia from being in a lot of pain every night. I find that it messes up with my brain and memories if I wake up at night. Is this okay?
No, it's not okay, because you're not getting a good quality and you're still waking up, you know. And again, there's already now this molecule where you're taking two. So there is the issue of dependence and tolerance comes in, because soon you'll be needing three. So I think we need to talk to the prescribing doctor about something that can help alleviate the pain as well as make sleep. And there are other medications that one can use, antidepressants, for instance, that will help with pain and help with sleeping. But I'd be reluctant with this pill, because you can see short-term, they're now needing more to get the same effect, and they're still not getting good quality sleep. So one has to be very, very vigilant about just popping sleeping tablets and not getting the derived effect that you should be getting. So look at something else, like I said, antidepressants or something that can help with pain but also make you a bit drowsy.
All right, here's the last question. Hi, Clement. Can I take, please can you ask the doctor, can I take Relaxants? I don't remember the name, but it starts with a tetra or tetra.
Yeah. Amitriptyline or tripoline. We also use that to help patients to sleep, especially if there's tension or stress or, a lot of muscle spasm. Very good, also safe in the long term. The trick there is to take it at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Because if you take it at bedtime, it's still working when it's time to wake up, and patients, if you can feel very groggy and have a daytime impairment. So it is very good. Can come in a low dose of 10 milligrams, there's a 25 milligram, but 3 to 4 hours before bedtime, it works very well for that.
Dr. Marlin McKay, general practitioner, thank you so much for making time.